Welcome to Does the Team Think with Ted Ray, Cyril Fletcher, Alfred Marx, and the man who has stopped the idea, Professor Jimmy Edwards. And now, team, you're going to hear a question from Miss Geraldine M. Doe. Miss Geraldine, may we have your question, please?
If the team could be members of Robin Hood's band of merry men, which would each be and why?
If the team could be members of Robin Hood's band of merry men, which would each be and why?
I suppose Jim would be Friar Tuck.
Why is that?
Because you've got dirty habits. I don't know, that's...
Alfred Marx.
I think I'd like to be Rabbi Tuck.
Rabbi Tuck. I have to ask why.
Well, I couldn't very well be Friar Tuck, you see.
Well, I don't know if you had an oven with you. Oh, no, not an oven.
Not without a special disc. Actually, what I'd like to do, I'd like to play a Jewish Robin Hood. The different thing, I'd rob the rich and keep the money. That would be the difference.
Cyril Fletcher.
Keep 10% of the money, surely. Now, I've cast Alfred here as Friar Tuck, as a matter of fact, because he's fat and baldish. Ted, to be made Marion, and I hope it won't hurt too much.
I don't think I can have the operation.
Jim, just... of course, will be the Sheriff of Nottingham, and I, because I'm the tallest member, will be Long John.
Not what I heard.
Well, in that case, I'd...
Little John. That's definitely not what I heard.
Wasn't his name Little John?
Yes, I've just corrected that's what I've myself. Got.
Jim, you haven't said very much so
I
far.
Know, because I can't think of anything. No, I'm exhausted from it. I had a very long day, you know. But, I mean, I have given this thought a moment's question. I'll read that message again.
Before you do, I should remove the mead.
Given this question a moment's thought, and I've looked at it this way. I wouldn't like to be any member of Robin Hood's Band of Merry Men because they're all dead.
Have any of you at any time ever played any part in an amateur production or professional in Robin Hood?
Well, I mean, one's done that pantomime where there's Robin Hood and his merry men. What's that pantomime?
What did you do in it, Jim?
Babes in the Wood, that is. Jim would be a babe, I should think.
No, but I remember these fellas came on with these extraordinary funny green funny-shaped hats shaped like a dart, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
And green tights, which is very embarrassing for anybody.
Well, I've been asking about this. Thinking about this historical side of the thing, a few weeks ago I was talking to a chap, and it's a strange thing you should have mentioned Robin Hood, because I said to him, tell me, did Maid Marian and Robin Hood sleep together? He said, they did in the company I was in.
Miss Geraldine Doe, since you put the question, I'm sure you probably got it in the back of your mind somewhere. What are your thoughts on the subject?
Ted Ray could be much the miller's son because they've got to do something with all the corn they produce.
Oh. What have you got me down as?
Well, I think there's not enough of you to make
trousers.
Two characters. Two-thirds of you could be Friar Tuck, and the remaining third could be Robin, because like Jimmy, Robin was a hunting gentleman who enjoyed blowing his own trumpet, so to speak.
Jim, I don't think Geraldine likes you.
They've turned Sherwood Forest into a nudist camp now, haven't they, with a high brick wall around it, and there were two of the local yokels there saying, one said to the other, give us a bunk up and I'll tell you what's in there. So he gave him a bunk up and he says, well, what do we see then? He says, well, there's a lot of people in here and they've got no clothes on. The other one says, well, what are they, men or women? First one says, don't be daft. How can I tell you that? They ain't got no clothes on.
Thank you, team, very much. And thank you, Miss Geraldine F. Doe. Thank you. Mr. John L. Bennett sits down on my right, and Mr. John L. Bennett is about to put a question to you, team.
Does the team think they will make good photographers? And what would be their favourite subject?
Does the team think they would make good photographers? And what would be their favourite subjects?
Are you a photographer, sir?
Yes, sir. Amateur.
Because when I was in Japan, during the Korean War, I took a little party out there. I forget her name. And they said to me, you want to get one of these cameras? They're marvellous, you see. Much cheaper than these you buy in London, you see. So, and it only cost about £6. And I forget the name of it, like a Ushasha.
or something, camera. So I said to a sergeant, I said, I've got one of these cameras. Look, only £6. And he said, oh, yeah, that's what we call the bum camera here. I said, why? He said, everybody's got one. True.
Yes, I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
The question was, what would we like to do, what sort of things would we do if we were photographers?
Yes, indeed.
Right?
Yes,
not mistaken, because these boys have got a marvellous tendency to go off the subject in order to get these corny jokes out. That's one thing that's why I'm not asked back very often, because I do stick to the subject. I don't use it as a platform for these terrible jokes.
Alfred, will you stick to the subject?
Yes,
please?
I will, yeah, thank all right. Well, Robin Hood, in my opinion...
No, Alfred! That was yesterday.
Sorry.
No, but I mean...
Alfred!
I haven't finished speaking.
No, you
yet.
Haven't finished.
Very rude.
Carry on, Alfred.
Thank you very much indeed. Well, I would like very much to do nude studies, but I do get very cold, you see.
Alfred. I'm not madly keen to be a nude for a photographer, but I would like to be a photographer taking nudes. And I did, as a matter of fact, start on this, but it's very upsetting, you know. You're going to have some very, very weird experiences. See, this girl came in, and I said, would you take your clothes off, and I'll have a cup of tea. And she took her clothes off, and there was imprinted on this magnificent form all the results of wearing a two-way stretch. I couldn't have photographed her like that. It was like a waffle. So I said, go behind the screen, I said, and sit down, and I'll have another cup of tea, and by that time the waffle will have worn off. And she came out again, you see, about 10 minutes later, and my luck, she'd been sitting on a cane-bottom chair.
It's a good job there wasn't three of them, that there'd been a round of applause.
But, suspicions about Cyril have been confirmed. Gets a girl to strip off and then goes, there's a cup of tea, you know, that's
Jim, have you ever indulged...
Manage, you see.
Jim,
oh,
have you ever indulged in photography of any sort?
Oh, yes, I'm a great flasher. Why are they laughing at
me? I don't know. I haven't got the faint. I must ask Mr. Marks.
I most of all like to take photography in the dark. You see,
see what develops.
What?
See what?
No, because
that's a good joke, Jim,
you
can't. Really.
Being photographed is the most irritating thing in the world, especially if it's in a studio where they do all that bit with the lights and say, Cyril, just put that one over there a little bit too light. There was one fellow who photographed me, and he'd get behind this camera and put that black cloth over his head, and he'd say, oh yes. Oh yes, 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 yes. You know, like that. I hadn't even asked him.
You have to be very careful if you were in a queue behind an old widow.
I would say that the main thing was to be quick. Take plenty of them and discard 98 out of the 100. You'll get a couple of good ones.
Mr. Bennett, if you had to take a photograph now and you had to choose one photograph, you had one left in your camera, which of these gentlemen do you think would give you the best picture?
Mr. Marks.
Mr. Marks? Why? Why particularly Mr. Marks? Is he that good looking?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Mr. Bennett says yes.
Well, as a matter of fact, May I... Thank you, Mr. Bennett, very much, because I was going to approach you afterwards, privately, because...
It's going to be an advertisement for the egg board, isn't it?
I don't think that's very funny. I don't make remarks about your face looking like a busted sofa, do I? Mr. Bennett, sir, may I just say this? When I was about 3 or 4 weeks old, my parents had a picture of me lying naked on my stomach on a rug, you see. Now, that photograph's been lost. My father would very much like it again. So is there any chance that I could...
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, Mr. Bennett. Thank you, Mr. Bennett.
How was your photography?
And now, team, you're going to hear a question put to you by Mrs. C.P. Rawlings. Mrs. Rawlings, welcome to the programme. Let's have your question, please.
Would the members of the team like to be reproduced in pottery... And would the result be useful or decorative?
That leaves you
wait
wide
for
open.
It.
Yes, I know.
Would members of the team like to be reproduced in pottery? And would the results be useful or decorative?
Well, yes, I've always wanted a handle to my name. And I would sign myself yours sincerely.
Alfred Marks.
I just hate to be kicked under the bed, that's all.
Ted Ray.
Well, I went into a barber shop and I said, how's business? What is your business? He said, shaving mugs.
Jimmy Edwards.
Yes, I've always wanted to be plastered. but this is plaster. This is pottery.
Yes, indeed.
Well, yes. And now, as a matter of fact, it has happened to me. I have had a mug made out of my mug.
A yes. Toby jug?
A Toby jug, as a matter of fact.
Toby yes. jug made into a mug.
I found that these pottery makers, these people who make these things, can't get the subtleties into my face.
Subtleties?
Is well, there anything subtle about your face?
If you think there isn't, I'll come and smash your teeth in.
Lovable, Jim.
No, I mean, truly, there are subtleties and nuances in everybody's face, and it's a little bit difficult in a small thing made out of... Let's face it, it's made out of clay, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Which is dug out of the earth.
Of course.
Well,
I mean, are we still talking about your face, or...
No, as a matter of fact...
A girlfriend of mine once got a hand fixed inside a jug, and she said, of all the predicaments, this is the ripest. It's going to ruin me as a typist.
Jimmy, have you ever potted?
Not since this morning, as a matter of fact. No, I've seen these people do this, and I'm fascinated by it, because they do something with their right foot, and everything goes round and round. I don't know what happens underneath. Is this lady a potter?
Well, let's find out. Mrs. Rawlings, do you indulge in pottery?
No, but I was thinking that if there were four Toby Jugs of the team, we could often go in the local and look up there and say, there they are, up there.
Be nice, yes.
Be nice.
You wouldn't see me, I've resigned.
Oh, no.
No, but you could be a water jug, couldn't you?
Mrs. Rawlings, have you noticed that most publicans collect antiques?
Well...
You leave my wife out of this.
Have you noticed that most teams collect new chairmen from time to time?
Yes, they do. Thank you very much, and thank you, Mrs. Rawlings. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to meet our special guest, a man of many parts, broadcaster, farmer, quiz king... Just up from Derbyshire, a warm welcome for, please, Ted Motes. Welcome to the programme, Ted. Have a nice, warm, comfortable seat, and let's hear your nice, warm, comfortable question, please, Ted.
If the team had to run a collective farm without outside help, how would they allocate the jobs, and could they support themselves?
If the team had to run a collective farm without outside help... How would they allocate the jobs, and could they support themselves?
I got a farm of my own. It's different from Ted's.
Haven't you got some cows? Frisians, aren't they? Why do they call them Frisians?
They call them Frisians. I don't know why they call them Frisians, but we give them hot water bottles.
Jimmy, why? Jimmy, why is it all farmers wear those brown flat caps?
He tried six before he found one that would fit.
It's so that when they take them off, you can say, hello, farmer. And then with that white forehead, they say, how did you know I was a farmer?
Well, I'm having trouble with my window box, let alone a farm. I can't even raise my window box.
If the four of us were incarcerated on a farm... and we're
I've
told...
already been done. You speak for yourself.
And it was the unkindest cut of all. I would like to try and envisage.
Oh, do.
You aren't off using some big words tonight. You said probably just now.
I would like to envisage the four of us on a farm, and there we are in Castlewood, and we've got to run it. Naturally, I'm going to be the foreman.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to run it. I'm going to designate the jobs.
It's not a big word, see?
Ted, sure. You're in charge of the herd of cows because you're the greatest milker of a bunch.
Well, you should talk. You're a bit of a jerk yourself.
But Cyril is going to be in charge of lifting the hay up into the cart because he has a baleful expression. Well, groan if you like. I thought it was.
If Arthur Askey was here, of course, he could be in charge of the dwarf beans.
If Arthur Askey was here, three of us needn't have turned up.
Incidentally,
I've found a job for myself, as a matter of fact. I'm the muck spreader.
And it shows.
And you can smell it.
Alfred Marks.
Yes, I'm at a great disadvantage because I'm city-born and city-dwelt. I love the country, but I'm useless in the country. The only time we moved out to the suburbs, my wife and I, and we went into the country for a week while I was down at Chichester last year, and we went to a fancy dress ball, and I got the brilliant idea of going in as dressed as a bull, and she went dressed as a cow, you see, and we took a shortcut across the field, and just that moment, a real bull came charging. And Paddy, my wife, said to me, "What are you going to do?" So I said, "Well, I'm going to chew grass. You better brace yourself."
I'd like you to do my famous impression of a golfer hitting a sheep. Shall I tell you?
Yes, please do.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Ted Moult. Thank you, Ted Moult.
Thank you, Ted.
Team, you're going to hear a question now put to you by Mrs. Wynne Curtis. Wynne Curtis, welcome to the programme. Take courage in both hands once again and put your question, please.
Did any member of the team ever think of taking up a medical career?
Thank God, no. Did any member of the team ever think of taking up a medical career?
I did, as a matter of fact. My first patient laughed the whole of the way through the operation. I had him in stitches.
Jimmy Edwards, have you had any medical leanings?
Leanings?
Yes. He doesn't call it medicine.
I have certain leanings every night about closing time, but no, I mean, it isn't, wouldn't be my, I wouldn't like to be a doctor. I wouldn't like to know what goes on inside. I'm worried enough about what goes inside me.
Jim, have you got a bedside manner?
Oh, he's got a flat in Knightsbridge.
I mean, that's all right, that side of it. I'd be frightfully good at the now, how are we, you know.
Oh, yes.
That bit. But I'm you were
What's
talking...
your next question?
How are we and where does it hurt?
I don't think doctors do have a bedside manner these days. I went into a doctor the other day and said, "I've got wind," and he said, "Here's a kite."
Yes, I heard of a case of a doctor, and he was examining this lady, and he said, well, that's about all. He said, "Mrs. Roberts, I've got some wonderful news for you." And she said, "Miss Roberts." He said, "Oh, I've got some terrible news for you."
Mrs. Curtis, are you...
How courteous is Curtis?
Well, Mrs. Curtis, are you in any way connected with the medical profession, in any shape or form?
Well, I do work in a hospital.
Ah, now, since you work in a hospital, do you suppose that any of these gentlemen would have made or would still possibly make good medical people, doctors?
Yes.
You do?
I think Alfred Marks would be a super surgeon.
Yes. Surgeon?
Super surgeon?
Yes. Well, most of the things I've said tonight are going to be cut out anyway, so...
Mrs. Curtis has the floor, as they say.
I think Dr. Edwards, I could imagine him going around with his stethoscope dangling around his neck.
That's the place for them.
That's the only thing that would be dangling, I can tell you. Oh,
God. Mrs. Curtis, don't you think that Jimmy Edwards would make a better vet?
I'll tell you one thing. That's a thing that's often worried me. Vets, you see, can't ask animals, "Tell me where it hurts." They can't say, "Does this hurt it? Oh, I didn't like that. Oh, heck." You know, they don't. They have to just listen.
How did they go, Jim?
No, a doctor says, "Does it hurt it? Oh, yeah, oh, heck, oh, yeah."
Yes,
but you see, a vet, he can just run his hand down this animal's leg, and the animal goes, or the animal goes,
that's a funny noise.
Or whatever the animals do.
What a funny noise for a horse to make.
Thank you, Percy Edwards.
I do the horse. The horse is... Was that a horse?
Well, the mane shook.
Mrs. Curtis, do you think that any of the other members of the team would make good doctors?
Well, I think Ted
make
would
a good
have...
patient.
I think
you're right.
I think he would have a very good bedside manner, and you would have every confidence in him.
Would you?
Thank you, darling. You know, I'll tell you something about this. This is very strange.
Yes.
We had a Spanish maid.
Oh.
No, this girl simply refused to get out of bed. And she refused. Cried, cried, cried. So I went to the doctor and I said, you must come along and see what's the matter with this girl. So he went upstairs and he said, now, what's all this trouble? What is all this trouble? Now, come on, senorita, tell me. She said, well, it's these people here. I'm working for today. But Mr. Ray and Mrs. Ray are pigs. She don't give me any money for 6 weeks. I get no money. He said, they haven't paid me for 6 months. Move over.
Jimmy.
You see, they're such funny people, doctors. They disagree about everything. You see one doctor, he says, lay off it.
What's he talking about?
And you meet another. I went to a doctor the other day. He says, the condition you've got, he says, you want to drink 8 pints of water and stay in bed. You can't do it.
Alfred Marx.
I had an old uncle, came from Russia. And one day he went down Harley Street, you know, every door is a specialist, you know, and he went in this doctor, and he said, I want a thorough examination. So the specialist said, just undress yourself and lie on the couch, will you? And he went inside and washed his hands, came back, he said, you're filthy, absolutely filthy. You can't have bathed for a month. You get up and get out. You're filthy. So my uncle shrugged his shoulders and went next door to another specialist. I've come for a thorough examination. He said, just undress yourself and lie on the couch. He went outside and washed, came back, he said, you're absolutely filthy. I've never seen... You can't have bathed for a month. He said, funny, that's what the doctor next door said. He said, well, why'd you come here? He said, I want a second opinion.
I went to a rather peculiar doctor once, you know. He's a rather strange manner, you see. He said, come in. So I said, yes, I kept my back to the wall. He said, look. Oh, he said, I'm so glad you came. Mr. Ray? I had a quick look at the driving licence and good night's reading in there. And eventually he said, now, I want you to do something for me. Go to the window and I want you to put your tongue right out as far as you can. And I said, why? He said, I can't stand that man across the road.
Thank you, team, very much. And thank you, Mrs. Wynne Curtis. Thank you. Team, listen carefully, because the next question comes to you by courtesy of Mr. Vernon Gosselin. Mr. Gosselin, welcome to the programme. A question, please.
Most comics long to play Hamlet. What Shakespearean role would each member of the team like to play?
How dare you impersonate me?
Most comics long to play Hamlet. What Shakespearean role would each member of the team like to play?
Well, I read Shakespeare, all of Shakespeare's stuff as soon as it comes out. And I think there are, you see, because of age and the age of the team, there are very, very few parts left for us to play. You see, I think Alfred could very well play Shylock. Jim could play Falstaff. Ted could play King Lear. And I would play Romeo.
Alfred Marx.
A few years ago at the Globe Playhouse Bankside Theatre, I played Sir Toby Veatch and lost. I'm reminded... this may be apocryphal or it may be true, I don't know.
Maybe what?
I couldn't say that again. And, get thee behind me, Satan. And the story goes of this Shakespearean, couple of Shakespearean actors who were playing, I think it was Richard, one of the Richards, and they went out to a cocktail party but early in the afternoon, very unused to it, and they got slightly sloshed, and they came and do the evening's performance, and this character walked onto the stage and started saying his lines, and he was slurring over, Majesty, now before us the sea on the fire, and there's barricading from the audience, and suddenly a voice in the god shouted, you, sir, are drunk, and he said, if you think I'm drunk, wait till you see the Duke of Buckingham.
Well, I was once conned into a Shakespearean part.
Yes?
An agent asked me to sign a contract, and I signed this contract as bottom. And I finished up playing the back legs of a horse.
Mr. Gosselin, in the possibility that you might be a casting director, if you had the opportunity to cast any of these gentlemen in a Shakespearean role, how would you go about your casting?
I'll cast Jimmy Edwards as Holofernes in Love's Labour's Lost.
Hollow what?
Hollow what?
Hollow Fernies, the unsuccessful.
Hollow Fernies! Hollow legs, perhaps, but.
The unsuccessful schoolmaster.
The unsuccessful. He's ready.
Cyril Fletcher could be Orlando in As You Like It, because he always hangs odd odes on the trees in the Forest of Arden.
Ah.
And you get them in toilets as well.
Yes, you do. Ted Ray, well, he could be the clown Festy in Twelfth Night. He was always fiddling and fooling.
Thank you, sir.
And Elfrin Marx, the melodramatic actor, could leave off the let and play Ham.
Oh! I tell you,
I was just beginning to like you. A memorable experience I had was, you know, the World Theatre Company that appear every year at the Aldwych, and they bring the best of theatre from all over the world. And about 6 years ago, the Moscow State Shakespearean Company came over. Did you know they did Shakespeare in Russia, translated into Russian?
Yeah.
And this young Russian played Hamlet. It was marvellous. And when it came to the soliloquy, though one couldn't understand it, it was like, it was something like this. Уждуй ми крави кашбини, удурим жняли пулявич, or not to be.
Follow that.
I if the conversation is going to continue, I would like to play one of the grave diggers. There's a deep character.
Why don't you go and start now, Jim?
Thank you, team, very much. And there, I'm afraid, we must close Does the Team Think for today. On behalf of Jimmy Edwards, Ted Ray, Cyril Fletcher, Alfred Marks, and our producer, Edward Taylor, our thanks to all our questioners, and, of course, our special guest, Ted Moult. This is Donald Hobie saying goodbye to you all. Goodbye.